All right. So, please settle down. While more people are trickling in, we have Max already starting with Careless Bomb.
Woo. Yeah. Hey, I think it's turned on. Yeah, I heard myself. Hey, I'm Max. I work at an IT consultancy in Munich, Germany, doing some consulting stuff. And one part was working on creating an SBOM for the Linux kernel, and with the goal to have that tooling part of the kernel source so that it can always be generated automatically. The tool, the development part of the tool is currently in this repository, and it's to generate an SBOM, you just take the source tree, the object tree, so the build output, and it will generate a SBOM for you. And the vision is, once it's merged and once it's contributed, you just call make SBOM, and you have the SBOM of the current kernel build. But let me explain how we get the metadata or the build graph for that SBOM. The kernel build, so that's a specific thing within the kernel build, is that it generates .cmd files. These .cmd files here, they contain metadata about the build and about what happened, and we parse them. And an example for that is, so these are two examples. They either just contain the make command that was used for that specific target, or they even contain additional source and dependency information. If we look into that, that's an example. It's the vmlinux file, and the corresponding .vmlinux.cmd file is shown here. And you see it calls ld, it has a lot of .o files as inputs, and it builds as an output the vmlinux file. And for that we can start constructing the graph of dependencies or of file level dependencies within the Linux kernel build. Another example is here the kernelinfo.o, and that's one of the examples where the dependencies are already mostly extracted by the kbuild build system. So it says that's my source file, that's the .s file, and that are my dependencies, some .h files. So there it's even easier to extract the graph from the build. And additionally, to these two cases where we have the metadata, oh, I start slowing down. I see I was a little bit stressed in the beginning, so I'm now getting relaxed. Yay. Additional to the .cmd files that we need or that we have where the data is already present, there are two cases where we need to fill some gaps. There are .uppercase s files that contain .inkbin, I think that's include binary statements. These, we need to pass them by hand and add them to the build graph that we are building. And these files that are included then again have .cmd files, and we can follow the graph even further. And there are some other cases where we currently still have to hard code the dependencies. So that's there are some gaps that we still need to fill manually, but we hope that we can improve the kbuild script and other tools to fill this gap, those gaps, and get rid of this annoying, ugly hard coding at some places. By the way, I always link the issues in the slides if you download them online afterwards. So that's basically the first part of the presentation already done. I think I'm too fast, but yeah, more time for questions. We built a graph from the kernel build by looking through the .cmd files, these two cases that I've shown. We have the include binary statements and some hard coding, and that results in this build graph. And we have built tooling just to understand what's happening that can visualize that. If you run the scripts, it's a JavaScript summable visualization of the kernel build, and you can find out how does it all relate. And we also worked on validating if it is complete, since we might miss some stuff. So we did we compared our data against an output of an S-traced kernel build, and saw that we have a 99.6% overlap. So it's still not 100%. So there are still some gaps, but the S-traced build also overreports some parts. So we are still in the moving towards 100%. And the second thing that we did is we just removed all files that are not listed, and the kernel is still built, so that's also a good sign. that was part one. That's the data that and how we get that, how we build the graph. And part two is, what do we generate from that data? We are generating SPDX files as SBOMs. I think we have heard a lot about SPDX today already. And matching what we have heard today, we are generating three different SBOMs. The output SBOM, I think that's not one of the listed names of types, but it's this single SBOM that describes the package, that contains the core metadata, and contains just the high-level information. It is very small and can be shared easily. It has some of the essential hashes. It has some of the essential metadata. And it's just the a small thing that can be shared. We have the source SBOM that contains the file-level information. And we have the build SBOM that represents the whole graph that links the sources to the final output. And there's an edge case to distinguish between what is source, what is intermediate file. We need to have an out-of-tree build so that these two parts are in two different directories. That's how we distinguish them. So and just to have also a slide with way too small font, that's our internal structures. It's a lot, but I have split it up into all the individual pieces, and that's the remainder of my presentation, just to explain how that all looks in detail. So the source SBOM, that contains the file-level information. It's basically filled with the hashes of the individual files, some of the statically extractable information like SPDX license identifiers that are in the file. And we do some basic heuristics to guess what type of file it is, if it is a source file, if it is a asset. All these things are tried to guess. And that's a simple entry of one of these files, just what I've said, machine readable as JSON-LD. And the source SBOM is basically a huge list of these, listing exactly the used files. And they are linked to the licenses with the has declared license relationship, since this is part of the graph structure within SPDX. And on the other hand, on the other side of the spectrum, there's this output SBOM that contains the software package for the Linux kernel, for all the modules that were contained in the build. And these packages are linked to the files that represent the packages with the hash distribution artifact. So that's the first bridge from the metadata to files in the file system. And these distribution artifacts are also the tip of the build tree in the end. And that's the high-level build element, since we also generate this the build structure. That's the top of the build tree. It's the it describes it's basically the entry point of the top-level build. But to go deeper, there's the build SBOM in between that describes all the real details, all the what command was used, which files depend on which file. So this is then what encodes the whole tree, and this is in the middle file. And all these small builds that are listed, or the build objects that are just encoding a single command that was run during the build, they are linked with the ancestor of relationship to the high-level build. So, yeah. And that's an example of that data. It's a build step. It has a comment that describes what was the command that was used. And it has two relationships which link the inputs on the one hand, and which link to the outputs on the other hand. So in the end, it's a build element that has these two relationships and that links files in the file system together, and that builds the graph. So yeah, that's the file structure, and that contained a lot of details that I just went over pretty fast. Maybe there are questions in the end. But yeah, what's next with that project? Then the big goal currently is to get it into the kernel source tree, to get it into a subdirectory in the kernel sources and make it part of that. There's currently a contribution in process, and if that is merged in the end, you can just, after a successful kernel build, call make spdx, make sbom. That's a typo. It should be make sbom is the command in the end. I can, I don't fix that right now, but that's the command in the end. And that is also described in the email conversation that is currently happening. That's the current contribution that is in progress, where we are discussing with maintainers how to adopt, what to fix, and how to get it aligned with the expectations. And we hope that we soon get green light and that it gets merged. Not sure at which release it will arrive in the end. Oh, yeah. And further next steps, we are interested in feedback. If you want to look at the output files, the CI is generating them for two or three example builds that are uploaded as assets to the CI. So you can look at examples, you can investigate examples. We are thinking about broadening the support for architectures. Since we don't have for all architecture analyzed what are the gaps, what do we need to get to 100%. So there's more work to do. And we want to understand how this could integrate with other build systems. For example, if Yocto builds something containing the kernel and itself builds SPDX, how to bridge the gap, how to interlink them, and how to have them pointing at each other. I see a thumb up. Yay! And that's it. On the right, that's a QR code to the repository. And on the left, that are my coordinates. You can reach out to me. And now, questions. Oh. Hey. Yeah.
So BSI is asking for 512 hashes. Is it possible to potentially parameterize it so people can gen out the 512 hashes automatically?
We are using, so, we're using 256, yeah? For sure it's possible. We are using the native Python support for generating hashes. The whole library is built without any external dependencies. That was a requirement. That's why we use no other open source SPDX tool, but yeah, I think the support is there. We just need to do a minor switch, or we can add parameters. Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you think about compatibility? Like in the morning session, ecosystem-based information will be lost for
chain and so what do you think about the compatibility of the, such kind of ecosystem?
So the question was, what do I think about incompatibility, compatibility about around beyond ecosystems? So, for example, you mean if we go to Yocto and this Linux kernel build, or what ecosystems do you want to compare? Or
sometimes comparison from the SPDX to
the from SPDX to CDX, for example, the conversion between SPOM ecosystems. I think it's a hard problem. I think we for example, the build tree that is encoded here, that has an end-sensor-off relationship that links the high-level build to the low-level builds, which is a concept where I don't know if, whether it is there's something that it can compare to. It's a dependency in Cyclone DX, but at the same time, a tool that wants to understand dependencies. Anthony, your name was Anthony, right?
Yeah.
Anthony said that it's it would be a dependency in CDX, and you would need to add a comment or metadata to encode that it's basically a dependency of builds and not a dependency of dependencies. So it's there's a lot to do.
Yes, the Linux kernel has put SPDX IDs in the source code.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it uses the deprecated syntax, GPL 2.0 instead of 2.0 only or later.
Mm-hmm.
So I tried to convince them to update, but they told me we don't care.
But even on the the question was that that the Linux kernel still uses the GPL 2.0 as identifiers, mm-hmm. which are deprecated. Is deprecated the right word?
Yes.
But they are still
That's correct.
Valid.
FSF prefers to see it with dash only or dash or later.
But
the kernel people want to keep it short.
I can repeat the answer. The FSF requires the dash only, the kernel wants to keep it short, but and I still think that GPL 2.0 is still a valid identifier, but deprecated, so still valid SPDX.
Yeah.
Yep. Any other questions? In the back there?
So, the architecture differences, what are the main blockers for making this work for, say, PowerPC or RISC-V?
It's this completeness analysis. What are the issues with getting it to work for PowerPC and RISC-V? The issues are that some of the tools behave differently. I mentioned that we are parsing the commands. So this example here, so there's a command string that we are parsing. If there are different tools involved, we need to write different parsers that support these tools. That is one problem. And the second problem is that there might be more things to be hard-coded. There might be more edge cases to be supported. So all the completeness analysis needs to be done. And it works, but there's a less guarantee that it's complete, and it might run into problems if commands cannot be passed.
They include binary in the assembly. It's different in the other assemblies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So thank you very much, Max. In the beginning, you were going.